Welcome to Sunday morning teaching from Canaan Land Church in Grove City with Pastor Sean. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
I'll start reading in verse 1. God laid on my heart on Thursday morning. I want to preach on truth. In Matthew chapter 11, I'll give you a little background here in a minute, but I just want to read and pray. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. He said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John." And if you're a student of God's word, you ought to underline this word or circle it. Show him what? Again. One more time. Those things which ye do hear and see. That the blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. And the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear and the dead are raised up. And the poor of the gospel preach to them. And then he says something here that we'll get into that John noticed, I guarantee it. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, you know, God, beforehand what you laid on my heart to preach. God, I pray, Lord, that you be with us here today. God, for those, God, that are watching, God, that can't be here. Lord, we pray, God, what we sense in your house, God, I pray they sense in their home. God, you know my heart. You know what I've prepared to preach. God, above all things, I pray that you give me the unction of God to stand and deliver what you'd have me. Be with us, Lord, we pray. God, you know the hearts here, God, the hurts, Lord, the struggles, Lord, that we're going to talk about here today. God, I pray, Lord, that we hear from you, God, not just words from my lips. Be with us, God, we pray for those that have come. Lord, we thank you, God, but there's more. God, I've been in church my whole life, and I can sense this morning that there's more. I pray, God, that you move on hearts today. God, give us a proper perspective and understanding, God, of what you'd have us understand this morning in these six verses we've read. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of God's people this morning said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I'm going to make this a little personal, if that's all right today. And I want to tell you, from time to time as a preacher, preachers experience things and hear things and go through things that, as a pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't particularly like. I mean, it's one thing to hear bad news. It's another thing to go through tough times. But to do so and still not only read God's word, but try and find comfort in God's word, but then have to go and prepare a sermon out of God's word. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes here's what I think, and I wonder about things. Now, I know you may think I have it all together. Boy, you're fooled. But as I thought about this week, as I've thought about the last few years, the things that I personally, and this is not a pity party, this is just me telling you my heart, that you go through and you hear and you see things and you go through things. This week, these verses that I read at 4:30 on Thursday morning was what I was drawn to. And just a little background, when you read this account, you'll find that John's in prison. And in the Gospel of Matthew, whatsoever that John doubted, I do not believe that John doubted that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. Now, I want you to understand, this was my dilemma. I had talked to Scotty about this on Thursday. And I said, in all my life and everything I've studied, when you get to this account, I don't believe within myself, with any part of my being, that John was doubting who Jesus Christ was as the Messiah. But what I want you to understand is this. John's having a problem where he is. John has done what Jesus has told him to do, and what Jesus has told him to do has landed him in prison. And being in prison, John kind of knows that Jesus knows that he's in prison. And John finds out that Jesus goes the opposite way. Instead of coming to John, Jesus goes to teach farther from John. So it's not an issue of who Jesus is as the Messiah. It's why am I where I am? Why, if I'm serving you, Lord, why do I find myself where I'm at? John had a problem with that. John's struggling because of his circumstances. Because he thinks, maybe this is familiar, it shouldn't be this way. If I'm a child of God, why is this happening to me? If I'm a child of God, why am I not out there with you, Jesus? Why am I stuck in here? And when I know, Lord, that you can answer my prayer, why do you not? John, the very instance of it is not about doubt. That is an unbelief. I had Scotty forward this to me. We was looking at commentaries riding down the road. And this is what it said. I thought it was good. Doubt is a matter of the mind, meaning we cannot understand what God is doing or why he is doing it. But unbelief, on the other hand, is a matter of the will. We refuse to believe God's word and obey what he tells us to do. It's not that John didn't believe in Jesus. It's John didn't like where he was given the circumstances. Listen to what Oswald Chambers says. They'll put it up on the screen. Doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he's just thinking. So if you were in prison like John, what would you have time to do? Think. And in that thinking, you'd start to think, why am I here and they're out there? Well, why are they spreading the gospel like I used to do, and they're not where I am? Now, knowing this, verse 6 worked me over. Verse 6 moved me. The Bible says John was the greatest after the Lord Jesus Christ in preaching. Jesus said that himself. And by many accounts, they believe it was around 6 months or before a six-month period that John finds himself in this prison here. And he's there because he called out the sin of a man by the name of Herod. So John tells the truth, and it lands him in jail. By the way, I don't think we're far from that. So when John needed Jesus, Jesus didn't go south towards John. He went north, farther away from John and the circumstances that John was in. And I don't believe, like I said, John thought that Jesus would respond this way. And John's in his toughest time. And John's at his lowest point. And the one who ate locust and wild honey and had camel's hair for his wardrobe, the one that was uncaged in the wilderness, is now caged in a prison cell. And again, John's not questioning Jesus as the Messiah. He's questioning the decision of Jesus not coming to help him. Lord, maybe this sounds familiar. When I needed you the most, where are you? Lord, not only do you not hear me, you're not coming to me, you're going farther away from me. That wasn't the answer John was looking for. And whether you think I'm talking about John, I'm talking about you and me as well. Where are you, Lord? It's amazing what we reason out, don't we? It's amazing what we try to understand when our circumstances are unfavorable in our life. I'm telling you, John knew who Christ was. Bible says he was there in John 1 when the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. So John just didn't understand why God in the flesh was doing what he was doing with him being in prison. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, you're not doing it like I thought you would do it. Hey, Lord, you're not doing it the way I want you to do it. And his thought could be maybe the same as yours and mine. I have no idea why the Lord would allow that. I have no idea why the Lord would do that. I don't understand, Lord. I can't imagine, Lord, when I'm calling out to you, you go the other way. You don't help me. Here's a phrase, maybe it's familiar to you, it is for me. Lord, I really didn't see that coming. Maybe you've been here. I can't believe the Lamb of God has left me in this place. I can't believe the Lord would have this happened to me. So here's the truth. You ready? It doesn't matter what you and I think God should do. Doesn't matter what you and I feel like God should do. Our feelings and our thoughts, no matter how bad they are, no matter how hurtful it can be, listen, does not change the truth about what God's going to do anyway. And whether we like to hear that or not, what I'm saying is in the good days and in the bad days, in the happy days, the truth remains the same. And truth doesn't always make me feel better. How about you? Amen. Truth doesn't always take the pain away. How about you? You heard the term I was raised on. You just got to pray through. Let me give you another one here. Here's what I've learned. Stick with him. He'll see you through. Now that doesn't mean you're going to not have pain. That means that in the midst of it, he's still going to get you through it. Amen. That's the truth. Truth doesn't always stop the hurt. It doesn't always stop the sorrow. It doesn't always stop the pain or the feelings or the struggles. But it's this truth of Almighty God that will build your faith. It's the truth of Almighty God where I anchor my soul in. So here's the truth as a believer, as a child of God, as a preacher of the gospel. I want the truth of God's word to anchor my soul, not always make me feel good. What I'm saying is this, I would rather have hurt feelings than a failing faith. I don't know what you're facing. You don't know what I'm facing. I don't know your hurts. You don't know my hurts this morning. I don't know what you're feeling right now. I don't have a clue. But what I can tell you as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that if you're lost, you can anchor your faith in Jesus. And if you are saved, you can still serve him. Here's what that'll do. It'll get you through, and not only will it get you through, you'll be able to feel pretty good about it. Amen. You say, Sean, you said you shouldn't trust your feelings. I'm talking about our attitude. Yes, right. There's a difference. Amen. I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about the grace of God. That's what changes our attitude. Yes, it does. I'm talking about joy in the midst of sorrow. And some of you right now, you're saying, yeah, I've heard you say that. Well, why don't you try it? Well, why don't you see what God can do? I hear it all the time. Well, I've tried that. You haven't gone all out. I got a cousin. This is what he told me. For years, you preached. And I'm not talking about Chucky. For years you preached and I listened to you on the internet. And I would sit there and my flesh would convince myself that I really tried. You know what he said, Sean? I realized I wasn't trying at all. So you're not fooling me. You're not fooling God especially. You give it to God. You anchor in Him. And no matter what the Lord decides to do, you'll get through it. You'll make it. He'll see you through. So John in prison needs an answer. And John, he sends this questions through his disciples. But I can tell you this, John already knew the answer. John already knew. I can tell you where John was because I've been there. How about you? I'm talking about when you go through tough times and you're asking questions, and I'll ask God and I'll know the answer because I memorized it in His Word. And that's what John was doing. And he tells his disciples to go, and then they go to Jesus, and Jesus says, go tell John. See, they go to Jesus. They ask Jesus the question that John asked them to ask Jesus. And Jesus just responds by saying, go tell John this. And Jesus didn't answer the question directly. But Christ gave him the answer. Go and show John is what he said. And he said, just don't go show him. Show him again. Show him what I've already showed him. Show him what he already knows. Go and show him, but when you show him and tell him, show him again. See, you've told him the miracles that you've seen me do. He's heard about it. He's heard about what was going on, and John is seeing this not by his own sight, but by word of mouth. And I'm telling you to tell him and confirm to him who I am. He's literally telling these disciples, boys, he's got the answer. He's got everything he needs to get him through. Now, what I need you to do to the disciples, just go tell him one more time. And I feel like that's what I do every single Sunday. Well, we've heard it. You're going to hear it again. Yeah. Well, we've talked about that. I've already heard that my whole life, Sean. I'm going to tell you one more time. Amen. That's what Jesus, because why? Because when we get in circumstances, we see the circumstances and what God's not doing that we think He should do, and we need to be reminded every once in a while of who God really is one more time. Amen. Listen close here. He's telling them, you give the verbal account to John yourself. So it's not a rumor. It wasn't hearsay. So it's not an exaggerated story. It was the word from God in the flesh himself. And that's why when the pain is difficult in your and I's life, and the valley is dark, and the ways are rough, that's why when the storms are raging, all you and I need to hear is from the word of God. John now in prison. John, at what it seems to be his lowest point. John, just like you and I, from time to time, needing confirmation, John asks, is it you or do we look for another? And Jesus, being Jesus, says, boys, that poor soul, go tell him one more time. Well, what do they tell him? Tell him that the blind see. Tell him that the lame are walking. Tell them that the lepers have been cleansed. Tell them that the dead are coming to life. You see, John knew all about that. And Jesus knew all about John. Jesus knew where John was at. Do you know that? Jesus knew what John needed. Do you know that today? Jesus knew John was looking for something specific, and Christ knew John needed something proven to him. Now, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, it talks about John confirming his ministry. So John knew what Isaiah said about the forerunner of God. John knew it was him. And John knew about Isaiah, and that Isaiah not only told John who he was, the forerunner, but also told John the qualifications of the coming Messiah. And I'm telling you, John knew that. He knew the list. And listen, Jesus knew that John knew the list. What are you talking about, Sean? The list concerning the proof of who Jesus was. So Jesus sends a message to John that John already knew, but knew John needed it to confirm just one more time. But in these verses, do you realize this morning that when he gives the answer to John, he left something out intentionally? See, Jesus knew John knew the list. And when Jesus gave him the list back about the blind see and the lame are walking and the deaf hear and the lepers are cleansed and the dead are rising to live again, Jesus puts something in here. In that list, he leaves something out and puts something in that he knew John, when he heard it, would say, wait a second. He's trying to tell me something. He did all those things. John knew that list. Isaiah talks about that list in Isaiah 61. Listen to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That last part right there. Do you catch it? Where's John? He's in prison. John says he's going to proclaim liberty to the captives and open up the prison to them that are bound. Now, Lord, you've done all those things, and I'm glad for those blind people that can see. I'm glad for those that come and get healing at an altar and you answer. But, Lord, it's about me right now. And I'm in jail, and I can see, and my health is good, and I can walk, and I can hear. The one thing I need you to do, according to prophecy, is to get me out of this jail, and you're not doing it. And Jesus knew he'd pick up on it. Jesus also said, I'll set the prisoner free. So could it be this morning that John was waiting on Jesus to get him out of prison? Could it be the pain and the heartache that John was going through that had him in prison where he was, that he didn't doubt that Jesus was the Messiah? He just doubted being where he was, the way it was, and was wanting Jesus to prove himself by getting him out of jail. But Jesus left that part out. You don't see it, do you? Where he told the disciples to go back. Jesus omitted that last part. He left it out. But look at what he says in replacing it in verse 6. Instead of setting the captive free and getting the prisoner unbound, look at what he says in verse 6. And blessed, what does that mean? New Testament, Old Testament. Happy is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, I know you know the list. John, I know you hear what I'm doing and you believe I'm the Messiah. John, I know I could get you out of prison. But John, that's not the will of God. And John, because it's not the will of God and it's not turning out the way you thought it'd be as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of the Lord proclaiming the gospel, John, when it comes down your row and God doesn't answer it the way he wants you to answer it, John, don't be offended in me. How many times God didn't do what you wanted him to do, and you get offended and walk out of church? Who am I talking to at home? How about that? Think about it. How many times you've been offended when you wanted God to do something that he didn't do? How many times have you had an unanswered prayer that God didn't answer the way you wanted him to answer it, the way he should have answered it according to your will, not his, and you got offended? And what is Jesus saying? Oh, I got the power to do it, John, but I need you to trust me anyway. I know you know I got the power. You know the truth of who I am, and you know I can do it, but you're struggling with doubt because you don't know why I won't do it. John, when you get to that place, don't be offended. John, when I don't do what you want me to do, don't get offended. John, because if you don't get offended, what does he say? Blessed, happy. That's why I don't like frowns in church. What you offended about? What you going through that something didn't turn out the way you thought it should or that you would? Blessed, happy is he who shall not be offended in me. John, I know this is going to hurt. John, I know this isn't what you wanted to hear. But this is the truth. You are where you are because that's my sovereign plan. You ever wanted something that God didn't answer? You ever been offended? Hold on, you will be. You ever doubted? You ever doubt what God's doing? Think about it here. Jesus saying, John, the truth is, I'm not here to get you out of this. I'm here to get you through it. I want you to think about that now. John, rest in this truth. My power is still real. The blind are seeing. I'm giving you the list, John. And John, I know you're hurting, and it's not the answer you wanted. But boys, go tell John I'm still changing lives.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We hope you have been challenged, inspired, and found hope in today's message from Pastor Sean. If you have questions about our church, we hope you will reach out to us at canaanland.church. If you join us at the church for our weekly service, please make sure to say hello to Pastor Sean, and we look forward to seeing you soon.